Greetings and God bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles, please, and go to John chapter 18. Today I'm going to share on our King has come. Our King has come. And how to change the world. Short topic we can get through in just a few minutes. With tomorrow being Jesus' birthday, September 11th, 3 BC on the Julian calendar, I thought it was fitting that today we should talk about our King, who is King of Kings, capital K of small k, King of Kings and Lord, capital L of Lords, Him and us. He's the King, we're also kings. He's the Lord, we're also lords. That's how God started out in the beginning with Adam and Eve. They had dominion over the earth. Then they lost it. But over 2,000 years ago, a tiny baby was born in Bethlehem. That aptly translates to the house of bread. The bread of life was being born in Bethlehem. And God had big, big plans for that little bitty baby, plans to change the world. Of all the earthly kings, governors, rulers, potentates, hottentots, rolled into one, none have affected the world more profoundly than one solitary man, King Jesus, the Messiah. I am so used to thinking of him as my Savior and my Lord, but you know, it took a paradigm shift for me a couple of decades ago to think of him as my King. Look at John chapter 18, please, in verse 37, when Jesus is standing in front of Pilate, Pontius Pilate. John 18, 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Jesus, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am king. To this end was I born, and for this cause, this reason, came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth, they hear my voice. If you don't want the truth, you're not going to hear his voice. But for those of us who hear his voice, check this out. Go up a verse to verse 36. Pilate had said, you know, your own nation is accusing you of being king. What do you have to say for yourself? And in verse 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. And this is that beautiful word of in the Greek. It's that beautiful word ek, E-K, which means his kingdom did not originate from any earthly source. Where did it come from? Heaven, who sent him into this world. God Almighty, the creator of all things. If my kingdom were of or originated from this world, then guess what? My servants would fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. It might interest you to know that Jesus talked about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, which both mean the same thing, 99 times in the Gospels. He taught about the kingdom of God more than any other subject in the four Gospels. So don't you think this whole idea of king and the reign of a kingdom is pretty important for us? Go to John 17, please. You know, back in Luke 11, 20, you don't have to turn there. But in Luke 11, 20, Jesus said, while he was going around casting out demons and healing people, he said, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is among you. I'm here. Your king is here. I'm starting a whole new section of God's plan for his kingdom, his family, the redemption of man. Jesus never came to start a religion. He came to plant a kingdom. He came to plant a kingdom. In Matthew 11, in the New Living Translation, again, I'll just read this to you. Jesus said, and from the time of John the Baptist, that John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. Why? God had been prophesying about this all through the Old Testament. But now the king himself had been born. He said, from the time of John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. And he also said, and violent people are attacking it. Is there any surprise there? No. The adversary and his minions are always going to attack one thing, truth, truth, truth. Because they hate God. They hate everything about God. Because God is good. God is gracious. God is loving. They are mean. They are vile. They are killers. They are evil. They love misery. And those of us who know the truth, we are set free from the power of the adversary. In John chapter 17, here's a beautiful verse. Verse 15. Jesus is talking about his disciples. And he said, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world. Why? Because God needs a megaphone. God needs a billboard. God needs for people to advertise his kingdom so that more of his children can come home. You know, people are always saying, I just want to work around believers. Honey, I'm always praying for God to put me around unbelievers. They're the ones who need the truth. We're supposed to be taking his message to the world. And he says, but leave them in the world, but keep them from the evil one, is the text. So we're here, but we're protected by our king. Verse 16, this is the one I want to get to. They are not of, ek, originate from the world, even as I am not ek, of the world. Whew. Now that one right there kind of blows your mind. But if you think back to what is God's plan for man, what is God's kingdom plan for man? Here it is in a nutshell. Number one, God wanted to establish a royal family of spiritual sons and daughters, as it says in John chapter 1, verse 13, not born of flesh, but born of God, spirit born, God born, born again, changed from mortal to immortal. That's God's royal family. Number two, his plan all along from Genesis 3:16 was to establish his Messiah, the chosen one, the Christ, as King of Kings. Number three, his goal was to make Jesus the first fruit of what? Many brethren. Number four, it was to establish an intimate, this is God's kingdom plan for man, to establish an intimate personal relationship with each and every one of his royal children. God is no respecter of persons. He loves us all the same. He loves you as much as he loves Jesus, honey. I know that's hard. You know, the old man nature wants to rise up against that, but it's true. So that, number five, he could extend his heavenly government to earth through us, starting when the king came, Jesus Christ. So Jesus said, just as his kingdom is not ek, of, originating from this world, we're not of the world once we believe in him and make him Lord of our lives. We accept him as our Savior. But he wants to be so much more than our Savior for a moment. He wants to be Lord of our life day in and day out. In Luke, you know, I was thinking about this just before I started teaching, and it just hit me in my spirit that Luke chapter 17, did I tell you that? Luke chapter 17, verse 21. It just hit me like a ton of bricks that I wake up every day more interested in what I can do for God than what He can do for me. I'd say 99% of my prayers are all about you guys, all about outreach, all about, Lord, let me hear your will so that I can carry your will out on a horizontal plane. I am much more interested in what I can do for God than what He can do for me. He's already given me eternal life. If that's all I ever got, I should do the Snoopy dance from here to Kingdom Come. I should be the happiest person on earth just to be an immortal. But when I'm focused on Him, He does so much more for me than I could even ask or think. Do you know how liberating it is to get up in the morning and ask God what you can do for Him rather than get up with your little to-do list and go to your Jehovah ATM and stick in your little card and just start saying, me, 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 what about me? What are you going to do for me? I am so focused on Him that sometimes I just forget what, you know, whatever pressing needs I have at the time, because I'm just, my mind and heart are so into His kingdom. In Luke 17, verse 21, well, look at verse 20. And when He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, He answered them and said, the kingdom of God comes not with observation. It's not going to be obvious to you unbelievers. It's not going to be in your face. Neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, I know people argue about this like they argue about how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. But when you understand that at the time of the new birth, if I'm reading my Bible correctly, and don't believe this stuff because I'm telling you, believe this because you search the scriptures for yourself to see if these things are so. The last time I looked, when we got born again, God moved inside of us and Jesus moved inside of us. It's God in Christ in you. Is that what the Bible says? God in Christ in you, which collectively we make up what's called the body of Christ. Or it says in Ephesians, collectively we make up the temple of God. It's not a place, it's a people. The kingdom of God is not a place, it's a people. The kingdom of God is where we are. And it's begun now. It's planted in the ground like a little mustard seed, and it's going to grow into the great tree that just covers the whole earth. But to really think of Jesus as your king this way, you know, when Jesus said repent in the gospel, we all know that's that word metanoeo, which means have a paradigm shift. To understand that the kingdom of God is within you takes a paradigm shift. And it's only in that paradigm shift. It says, now, the kingdom's been coming, you know, from the time of John the Baptist. It's been forcefully advancing, and the violent people are attacking it. So if you don't have a kingdom mindset, how are you going to seize your crown? How are you going to really believe in your birthright? To imitate Jesus and be a shepherd king here on earth, and walk forth every day in tremendous love and tremendous power, worshiping God and shepherding others. Where? Home to Papa. This is the whole point of us being here, is God's kingdom. It's the whole point of there being an earth It's the whole point of the earth being populated. And I know this is hard for us to comprehend because we've never lived in a monarchy. Well, unless you guys are from Great Britain or some other empire. We've lived in a republic all of our lives where people argue about everything. And, you know, somebody can make one decision one day and then the next day it's something completely different. But once we're not ek of this world, we move from the worldly ways into a spiritual kingdom. And in that kingdom, my friends, we live under a monarchy. And monarchies are so different than democracies or republics or socialists. The word of the king in a monarchy is not up for debate. The word of the king stands. It is immutable. It is unchangeable. It is the king's decree. You've got the king's decree in your hand right now if you're reading the Bible. This is the king's decree. All we got to do is agree with it. Ecclesiastes 8, 4, and 5. You don't have to turn there. But Ecclesiastes 8, 4, and 5 says, where the word of a king is, there is power. Ecclesiastes 8, 4, and 5. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment, what, of the king, shall feel no evil thing. Can you see the benefits of wanting to believe and trust that our king has come and that we are now, he's the king of kings. We are joint heirs with Christ. The king's word is not up for debate. You know, in the old days, say in the 1400s, maybe King Edward or somebody would give Earl Spencer a parcel of land and a castle, and he'd have him come before the royal court, and he'd place a jeweled ring on his finger, a signet ring. And what would happen to that property? I don't care how muckety-muck and high and mighty they were, they'd be thrown out. They'd be evicted or they'd be in prison, and Earl Spencer and his family, they'd move in and take it over. And you think, well, gosh, that's kind of weird. But hey, let's think about Exodus. And when God took the Israelites, the Hebrews, out of Egypt, what did he do? He took them to the promised land, a land of milk and honey. And when they got up there, they began, all the unbelievers started dying off, and they began to really trust the king. What did he do? He drove out the Hivites and the Perizzites and all the other ites, and he gave them a land for which they did not labor. All they had to do was follow his voice, go where he led them, and go in and take it. For this was the Creator, the King Eternal. This was God Almighty's decree, and nobody could break it. The unbelievers could walk away, but nobody could break the King of the Word of the King. Hello. The word of the king is not up for debate. It is final. It is binding. That is why every promise in this word or every rhema that God would give you personally is for real. It is yea and amen, and we appropriate it by simply accepting it, by trusting that we are the king's kids. Look at Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1. Aren't these just electrifying truths? Jesus never came to start a religion. He came to plant a kingdom like a seed in the earth that would grow and grow until it covers the whole earth. Will that happen in the future? Yes, it will. But we think so many things are supposed to happen in the future that we're supposed to be making happen now. In the Our Father, Matthew 6:10, you know it, the Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When? In the sweet by and by, Jesus was telling them how to pray now. And then he went on and taught the rest of that great parable in Matthew about taking no thought for things of tomorrow, that if you would just be focused on the kingdom now, God would meet all of those other needs. That's how I learned to wake up every day more concerned about God's interest than my interest. He promised if I'd be concerned in his plan, he would take care of me. What a concept. He would give me wisdom. He would give me guidance. He would show me right decisions to make. Well, how is God's will done in earth as it is in heaven? Jesus is not physically here. How does it happen now? Through us, God's royal family. Right now, as they say down here, right now, brother, right now, you are both legal and regal. Even the supposed prodigal son comes home, what happens? He gets the signet ring. He gets the airship coat. He gets the shoes of ownership. He gets a big fat party. When? Now. Our king has come. We're already part of helping his kingdom advance. Acts chapter 3. This is such an important section of scripture. After Jesus had been with them, he'd come back and they'd been with him for 40 days. And he'd been seen of so many and done tremendous signs in front of them. It says in Acts chapter 1 verse 3. Acts chapter 1 verse 3. They're up on the Mount of Olives. Such a beautiful spot. I mean, there's just a spiritual energy up there that just, it charges you when you're there. I mean, I remember standing there and thinking about these verses and reading these scriptures. He's standing there with his disciples. And he says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, his death and resurrection, by many infallible proofs. See, as somebody with a scientific brain, I love empirical evidence. God gives empirical evidence all the time for those of us who have eyes to see and ears to hear. Everybody else is going to slough it off and say it's a coincidence or that didn't really happen. It says right here, God gives infallible proofs. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of them, of things pertaining to, oh, what kind of job? Where do you want to go on vacation? I don't think so. What kind of car do you want to drive? No. He was speaking to them of things pertaining to Jesus' number one subject, the kingdom of God. Oh, gosh, I love that scripture. Oh, I love it. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Love that one too. What a great, just love the word, man. What can I say? I get excited about reading this. Which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with, that great word, E-N, which is represented by a big circle with a little dot. That is immersion. You're in the middle. You're the dot in the middle of the circle. In Holy Spirit. Not many days hence. The gift from our Father that was promised. Verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, when will thou at the time restore again the kingdom of Israel? See, isn't that so worldly? Hey, we want the goods, man. We want the new houses. We want the mansions. We want the chariots. Their head hadn't quite changed to the right focus yet, where they were more interested in the things of God. But we know it did after Acts chapter 2, praise the Lord. Verse 7, and he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But here's where I want you to focus, kids. But ye shall receive power, dunamis. After that Holy Spirit, the gift of Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be defense attorneys, beaten up by the devil and never win. No, you're going to be witnesses. You're going to be filled with power. You're going to walk in victory unto me, unto Jesus Christ and the good news of the kingdom, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and all Samaria. But he didn't stop there. And unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men, angels, stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so return, come back in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Yes, we live for the hope, but in the meantime, we are bringing more and more of God's children into the kingdom. This is not my goal. This is God's goal. Acts chapter 2. So thank goodness they obeyed, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. This is Solomon's porch. They had the temple area was 40 acres of beautiful limestone. Surrounding it was a two-tier, beautiful, columned portico. People met in that area to bring the sacrifice, to talk about the things of God. And then there was the temple. They had the gate of the Gentiles where no Gentile could go past that area. Then they had other things. And then the temple was in the center, the heartbeat of that area. But these guys are out on the big porch where everybody can see them. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, whoosh, as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house, the temple area. You can check 1 Chronicles 22:1 to establish that. The temple area where they were sitting, and there appeared over their heads, each of them, split tongues, cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it sat, it just stayed upon each of them. Every time you saw fire from heaven in the Bible, it meant it sat on a sacrifice or it consumed a sacrifice that was accepted by God. These were fires not made by human hands. They could have been green. They could have been purple. But the fire came from heaven and sat upon each of them. And don't you know those disciples' eyes were bugging out like a cartoon character. Boing. They heard the wind, they saw that sign, they knew what that fire from heaven meant, and they were all filled, pletho, with Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Again, infallible proof, the guarantee that proof positive, the King has come, and he's anointing you as fellow kings. King of kings. Now he's filling you with power. And baby, let me tell you, when he comes back as King of kings and Lord of lords, every knee will bow, every eye will see him. And we're part of that plan now. And if you go on and read the rest of Acts chapter 2, we don't have time for that today. But in verses 14 through 41, Peter is no longer hiding behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. This guy that was full of fear is standing in front of the same people that had just crucified his Lord, and he stands up with hesitancy. Nope, with boldness, proclaiming the kingdom of God message, all about Jesus Christ coming to redeem mankind, God raising from the dead. All that God proclaimed through Jesus, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to the church. Man. Today, who continues that work here on earth? You and I. Go to John chapter 12, please. You and I. And what a privilege, what a joy, what an honor, what a calling. I am so ready for the next great awakening, and you can feel it just bubbling all around us where people are coming back to the truth of God's Word. We're coming back to seeing there are more and more people that are understanding and seeing the identity of the true God and His Son, Jesus Christ. They're seeing the power of the Holy Spirit. They're having personal relationships with both the Father and the Son. They're walking in power, all because of one man, our King, Jesus, the Messiah, John chapter 12, verse 24. Pivotal verse of Scripture. Verily, verily, of a truth, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat, a grain of wheat fall in the ground. Remember Virgo, the constellation? She's holding a small sprig of wheat. The virgin is in her hand in the constellation Virgo. Except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. If you got a seed, an apple seed, and you want an apple tree, if you hold it in your hand, it's not going to do much. What do you have to do? You have to plant it in the ground. But if it die, if it expends itself, if that outer shell explodes, the outer shell explodes, it brings forth much fruit. It brings forth new life. If you plant corn, it produces corn. If you plant tomato seed, it produces tomato. But guess what? In the spirit kingdom, if you plant a king, if you plant a king, it produces kings. Oh my goodness gracious. Isn't our God fantastic? That he would think this plan up before the foundation of the world and that you and I get to be part of it? Golly, 60. Just imagine. I mean, here's Jesus, bloody, beaten to a pulp, taking on sin he didn't commit, paying a debt he did not owe because we had a debt we could not pay, standing in Pilate's court, in that bloodied condition, confessing, I'm in the world to be king. For this reason was I born. Defying logic, all of man's logic, nailed to a tree, but then taken down and wrapped, just like a seed husk, wrapped in linen and placed in the heart of the earth. Sepulcher. 72 hours later, he, quote, germinated. He busted out of that linen and he was in no hurry because he folded the napkin over his face. It was decent. It was in order. But he walked out of the earth, the grave, a first fruit among many brethren, a new man, a glorified man, a spiritual man. Not only did he have perfect spirit, but he had the new spiritual body we are going to receive at his return. You know, I saw 1 Corinthians 15 never talks about changing our spirit at all. You've got the Spirit of Christ in you now. Your eternal spirit's in you now. All that's going to happen at the return is you get a spiritual body. He said, touch me, handle me, for a spirit has not flesh and bones. I don't know what that body's going to look like. It could appear, it could disappear, it could change form, but it was visible. He was the first glorified, immortal human being with that new spiritual body ever. The King of Kings. He walked out of that grave, the first fruits, baby. And that is us. We're filled with him. Now the kingdom of God is wherever you are. The kingdom of God is the body of believers. Remember I talked about God giving the Israelites the land of milk and honey? They walked in for land. They did not labor. All they had to do was believe and walk in it, go in at his word and take what he had given them by grace. Don't you see the parallel? The same thing is now with us. God, Kurios Theos Panto Creator, Lord God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, had a plan. Jesus, whom he sent to earth. Jesus fulfilled God's will and led captivity captive. He threw the squatters out and cleared the way for each and every one of God's children to walk into a land of promises. When? Now. These are some of the gifts he gave to the body of Christ, King of Kings. We're his body. He's the head. All we have to do is believe it. Go in and take it. How? With abject humility and deep thanksgiving, because it's all given to us by grace. I see people get excited about football. I see people excited about basketball. I see people excited about awards or different things. People, I don't know what is more exciting than this. I don't know what can even compare close to this. The power that resides within you right now, if you only recognize it. The Amplified Bible in Philippians 3:20, I'll just read it to you. Philippians 3:20, the Amplified Bible says, "But we are different because our citizenship is in heaven now." We are different. We're in the world, but not of the world. We are here to witness and to bring glory to God by allowing Him to work in our lives and so blessing us that people want what we have. And it says in the Amplified, we are now citizens of heaven, right here on earth now. From there we eagerly await the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in 2 Timothy 1:10 that Jesus said He came, though for those of us who believe in Him, He came to abolish. You know what abolish is? Do away with, for those who believe in Him. He abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light. Well, who is light? God is light. We're now part of His light. We're now part of that "let there be light" in Genesis chapter 1. And how did we get brought there? Through the gospel. God's plan. God in Christ in you. So the question is, you know, what do we do to work the works of God? What do we do to be world changers like Jesus was? In John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I'm sweating. That's all right. Because this is my athletic competition. This is the thing. This is what I'm into. This is my passion. This is what I love. Having a deeper understanding of who I am in this life so that I can bring others into the truth. I can't make you see the truth. I can only teach. Only God can open the eyes of your understanding. But boy, I hope I salt your oats. John chapter 6, verse 27. Labor. Don't put your most efficacious effort, not for the meat that perishes, but put your number one effort for that meat which endures unto everlasting life. What? The kingdom of God, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. 28. Then they said unto Him, what a great question. I ask this every morning, one of my first questions when I get up. What shall I do? What shall we do? What shall I do that I might work the work of God? That's it. That's my passion. That's the center of the bullseye of my target every morning. Verse 30. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, and look how simple this is. This is the work of God, that you believe on Him who He sent. Man, that just makes you rock back on your heels that it could be that easy. That's our job, to believe on Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter if you're a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, a pastor, a welder, a full-time mom. We have all been given this mandate. This is for us. There's no category pointed out here. It's inclusive for all the members in the body of Christ. You know, here's the deal. Jesus is already King of Kings. You've figured out by now you're the king, small k, or if you want to call yourself a queen, I don't mind. Same authority. King and queens, daughters of God, joint heirs with Christ. God has already put everything under Jesus' feet. And here's what you need to believe. Jesus already loves you. Jesus already loves you. God already loves you. You are already lovely and acceptable in their sight. You may do things that turn your stomach at yourself, but never God. He sees you through pure love. You don't have to win His affection. All you got to do is trust Him. He's already on your side, and He's already on your inside. But we have to ask ourselves the question, and this is a moment-by-moment question, who is king of my heart? Who is reigning in my heart? Who am I giving authority and my top priority to in my heart? Am I just focused on myself and my wants and needs? Am I choked by the cares of this world? Am I worshiping some other person and just doing what I think will please them rather than what will please God? Have I become that hard ground so the word just bounces off? Do I need to break up the fallow ground of my heart so that it's soft and pliable and I can once again follow the voice of my Lord? Jesus Christ, who alone is entered into the presence of God and can reveal God to us. He says in the Gospels, I'm the only one that's seen Him, and I'm the only one that can show you what God really is all about. He who lives forever, who will never lead you astray, who's on the throne? Who's on the throne? I try to keep my elder brother and my friend, my King, Jesus, on the throne of my heart, 24/7. And that's why I don't want you to hear this teaching and just think about it for 5 minutes. This is a lifestyle, not a hobby. We have been brought into the kingdom of God. There's nothing, once you're brought in, there's not one thing you have to do. But I tell you what, there's so much I want to do. There's so much I desire to do. And I only do that by keeping my focus on my King, keeping my focus on Jesus, thinking on Him, setting my affection on things above. And this kind of thinking is a day-by-day commitment. It takes practice. It takes effort. But think about this. You and I, we have the privilege. And along with privilege is what comes what? Responsibility. We have the privilege to walk in God's favor. His grace, His unmerited kindness. We have the privilege to walk in His goodness and expect His goodness in our life. We have the privilege to walk in joy, even in the midst of uncertainty. Joy, Jesus had joy on the cross. Never forget that. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. We have the privilege to receive unearned blessings. We have the privilege to great health. We have the privilege of prosperity. We have the privilege to walk in kindness. We don't have to be defensive. That's our false self, the old man. The new you can walk in kindness, knowing that you're accepted by God and that's all that matters. We have the privilege to walk in compassion and freely give because it was freely given to us. And you know, if you really want to boil it down to a kingdom edict or an edict, a kingdom edict, this is really our duty. Because Luke tells us to let our light so shine that our good works can be seen by all men and they can glorify our Father who's in heaven. We are the lights of the world. We are the outward expression of the true God living inside of us. This is kingdom living. And only this is what gives others a choice, a real choice, between the two kingdoms. The kingdom of man, yuck. The kingdom of God, glory, hallelujah. The kingdom of darkness, yuck. The kingdom of light, freedom. Eternity with God, hallelujah. You know, God kind of tapped me on the shoulder when I was working on this. And he said, you know, Peg, teaching the word is terrific. It's great. But living the word is greater. We are living epistles, it says in the epistles. Known and read of all men. What are they reading in your life? I hope you're living the king's decree, because that is the ultimate witness. People talk about make America great again. This is how you make America or Europe or Asia, any place, great again, is by being part of the kingdom plan and part of God's revival. Revival, revival. We're going to close in Matthew 28, but I'm going to read out of a different version. So Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came up and said to them, all authority and power of absolute rule, all authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he anointed them. Remember, they were called. And he said, go. You listen to this teaching, you go. Wherever you are, in Georgia, Florida, New Hampshire, Ohio, wherever you happen to be, you go, therefore, and now you make disciples. Don't just witness and get them born again. Make disciples, disciplined ones who also know how to walk the Word of God. Where? Of all nations. Help people to learn of me, believe me, and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, but in, E-N, Holy Spirit. Teaching them by your example how to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, regardless of circumstance, and on every occasion, even to the end of this crappy age. When man's thing is done away with, it's blown to pieces, and we're coming back with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our new spiritual bodies, and we're going to wrap things up in a nice bow for 1,000 years, and then the kingdom of God will be all in all. But the kingdom of God is planted now, because the kingdom of God is not a place, it is a people. Those who love and obey King Jesus. That's how we change the world. That's how God's will is done in earth now as it is in heaven. Those of us who listen to God, we bring God's will into this plane all the time through miracles, through healing, through word of God, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, through sharing the truth. We're a pipeline to heaven. We're the conduit to the throne of God into our life and then into others, other lives. That's how the first century church changed the known world, by living and sharing and discipling others, not in big rooms with stained glass windows, not in big piles of brick, but breaking bread from house to house. That is the Jesus way. That's what we're doing here right now. This is how to work the works of God, to honor our King and our God. You know, Jesus asked a question in the Gospels that makes me cry every time I read it in Luke 18:8. He said, when I return, will I find faith in the earth? And that just gives me chills. And it puts me in a fighting mode. And I pray to God, yes, he will. He'll find it all over the earth, because we're doing our kingdom mandate. We're doing the works of God. We're believing on the one that God sent. We're living humbly before our God, and yet boldly, as fellow kings, sons of the Creator of heaven and earth. We trust Jesus with our heart and with our life. And we never give up. We never give in. We never give up spreading the good news of the gospel of our King. This is how we carry out our part of God's royal kingdom mandate. This is how to live in blessed union with God and with His Son and helping others at the same time. This is how to change the world one life at a time. Make God and Jesus King of your heart every day, all day, and show others the way home to our Papa. Because our King has come and He's coming back. The question is, who will be ready? I thank you, Father, for this great time in your Word. I thank you that we have the privilege and the honor to carry your message to a dying world and to lift our fellow believers up, iron sharpening iron, being the tip of the spear, wanting to be more interested in your things than our things. Father, thank you for giving us a humble heart. Thank you for eyes of understanding opening this morning in ways to a deeper level than ever before. In the name, the authority, and the love of Jesus Christ, my Savior and King, I thank you. Amen.